Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Thursday, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Uncle Colin bet the Hawks last night and the Mavs and was this close to betting the Jazz. I couldn't tell you the last time I went 3-0 on bets. So lunch on me today. Uncle Colin is, I got cash pouring out of my pockets this morning.
Well, I owe you a sub.
Yeah. What bet did I beat you on?
Tebow? Tebow. They'd start talking about.
And Nick Wright bet me on the Hawks.
So he did. You guys did do a separate bet. Interesting.
Well, he said it on the air, so I count that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fair.
So Atlanta rolled. I don't know how far they'll go against the Sixers, but it was a fun night. I got home last night. My house is being rehabbed. It's a disaster. I've had the refrigerator in the dining room for now a month and a half. I'm over it. So last night I got a little sushi and sat for 4 hours and watched NBA basketball, Joy. And we're getting very close.
Very close.
To kabloom time for the Clippers. So they lost their third straight playoff home game. Yet they've won all their playoff road games. That doesn't make any sense. It's Kawhi's team. Kawhi's teams don't make any sense. Shocker, they were awful late in the game last night. Listen, both L.A. teams have a hole. It's going to be a very sad weekend in L.A. The Lakers' hole is health. Some of that is random. The Clippers' hole is chemistry. But I kind of think, you know, this is the way it is. If AD is going to be your guy, you're just going to be Heartbreak Hotel. And if Kawhi is your guy, you're not very verbal. Statistically, the Clippers are the only really good team in the NBA that is atrocious late in games. And they were atrocious last night. Rondo's yelling at Kawhi. Kawhi's airballing it. They were just a mess. You become your star in the NBA. It's the smallest roster of any professional sport. Soccer rosters are bigger. Hockey rosters, baseball rosters, football rosters. It's a very small roster. So the star, whether it's on the plane, meeting rooms, or on the floor, the star dictates the temperature of the room. You become your star. Magic Johnson's teams were fun and joyful. Steph's teams are clever and offensive-minded. Michael Jordan's teams were relentless. Tim Duncan's teams were quiet, methodical. Bird's teams were blue-collar, tough. You become your star. It's a tiny, tiny locker room. 13 guys, 7 really play. You become your star. Well, we have discovered with Kawhi, San Antonio and Toronto, he wasn't the foundation. He was the assassin that walks in and hits the shot. We've discovered when he's the foundation, your team is weird. The Clippers are an enigma. Kawhi is. He doesn't communicate. Is he playing tonight or is he resting? Is he guarding Luka or not? Who knows? He doesn't talk. He doesn't have press conferences. You have no idea. Last night in key situations in the third and fourth, he's on the bench, not talking. I'm watching him during timeouts. He's not talking. LeBron, Magic, it just, he doesn't talk. You don't know. They've become Kawhi. They win all the road games. They lose all their home playoff games. What? That makes no sense. Yet also makes no sense that last year the Clippers go into the bubble with the deepest roster and literally fall apart. We're sitting here going, what? They go like 10 deep. It makes no sense this year. All this talent. They are the worst clutch team in the NBA statistically that's in the playoffs. In clutch time games this year in the playoffs, look at this. They shoot 18% from the floor. They're 0-3 and minus 22. This is for one of the top five teams in the league. That makes no sense. So it's one of these things where I think when it's hard to, the Clippers to me are hard to explain. They can't win at home. They win on the road. Why are they terrible late? Why last year was the chemistry so bad? Doc Rivers' teams always have great chemistry. Doc Rivers finally had a team. I mean, Blake Griffin and Chris Paul couldn't stand each other. They still had pretty good chemistry. We found that DeAndre Jordan and Chris Paul couldn't stand each other. We never talked to them about chemistry. So I think if the foundation of your house is Kawhi, it's a haunted house. You can live in a haunted house. I mean, unless it's Amityville Horror. You can live in a haunted house, but there's just, I don't think you're ever going to quite feel with the Clippers that you have all the answers. In the last 2 years since Kawhi's gotten there, they are a riddle wrapped in an enigma. There's no reason they're that bad late in games. There's no reason the chemistry was terrible. There's even Kawhi's injury in San Antonio was shrouded in mystery. Suddenly, the one player in Popovich's entire coaching career that wouldn't listen to the doctors. Remember, Kawhi went to Toronto. They were going to give him like a penthouse suite. He didn't talk much. I mean, he was kind of a loner. He's a great player. But you become your star. It's the smallest roster in American professional sports, and I can't get my arms around the Clippers. I just don't trust them. They don't talk much. Rondo, Paul George, Montrez, they shipped him out. Kawhi Leonard, new coach, still same old issues. Let's talk Luka, though. Luka is remarkable. Luka was playing professional basketball in Europe at 14. Now, I just want you to think about that for a second. Let that bake. At 14, I was just moving out of playing with Legos. I had just graduated post-Legos. I still watch cartoons. Luka is now 22. Luka and LeBron James are the best 22-year-old basketball players in my life. Luka came into the NBA and averaged 21 points a game at 19. Just think about that. Now, he's not a very good defensive player. But he's the best offensive player in my life I have ever seen at 22. LeBron is the best athlete I've ever seen in my life. At 22, he led his team to a final. 6'9", 250. He used to chase people down, block the ball off the backboard. He stopped doing it about 6-7 years ago. Now, Magic was close, but Magic wasn't a great scorer at 22, 18 a game. And plus, Magic inherited Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's not fair. So let's just take Magic out. When you inherit Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, that is not fair. It's Luka's team. It was LeBron's team. The pressure every night for you to score, to defend, to make the play. But here's the key on this, and it's fascinating. Cleveland could never, ever get LeBron a Pippen, a Robin, a two. And Mark Cuban could never get Dirk a two. Steve Nash was great once he left. Portland's never, 7-8 years, been able to get Dame a two. And I think it's harder than ever to get it to. Because it used to be if you got a college kid, he was had been in college for 3 or 4 years, you had so much tape on him, you knew, you had so many scouts that had surrounded him, you knew if he was temperamental, you knew his game. When you give an NBA scout 4 years of tape, you better not whiff. Now guys get like, if they get any college tape, it's 30 games and maybe eight where there was an NBA player other than the guy you're drafting on the floor. Some of these guys are out of high school, or they go to the G League. It is hard. I mean, Michael Jordan didn't get Scottie Pippen for like 4 or 5 years. And by the way, they got lucky to get Pippen. It was a trade with Seattle with Olden Polonese. And that was in an era, I think it was easier to get a two. You were looking at 3 and 4 years of college tape. You kind of knew what a guy could do and what a guy couldn't do after 100 college games. Now you get 30, and back then there were all sorts of NBA guys in college. So if you watch Michael Jordan's tape, he would guard NBA players. He was defended by NBA players. Now you watch, you know, Jalen Suggs for Gonzaga. He didn't face an NBA guy until like the last two games of his college career, maybe like a UCLA or a Baylor. So I just think it's harder than ever. And Mark Cuban's a really smart guy, but Porzingis is not it. You can't trust him physically. He's a three, not a two. And Mark's really smart. He's a business guy. But think about all those great Dallas teams. They could never, in an easier era, find Dirk a two. Portland's got smart people running the organization. They can't find Dame a two. And you know, I look around right now with Luka. When you get a Luka, you basically are getting Josh Allen and Mahomes. You are going to be excellent for 12 years. But the difference is in the NFL draft, good God, there are Pro Bowlers in the fourth round, in the fifth round, Tom Brady in the sixth round. Half the league is undrafted. Doesn't work that way with the NBA draft. You are out of players by about the 14th pick. You are, I mean, the number of guys who have been stars in the second round is tiny. Manu Ginobili, Draymond Green, it's pretty tiny. Jokic, obviously, there's some. So I'm fascinated to watch. Cleveland could never find LeBron at two. Portland hasn't done it. Mark couldn't do it with Dirk. This kid's Mahomes. This kid's Josh Allen. Can they find him a two? In an era where I think it is, maybe you have to go buy a two. They tried to do that with Porzingis, but he's a three. So they overpaid to get Porzingis. He's not a two. If he's your two, you're not winning championships. If he's your three, you can win them. Really interested. But he is Luka and LeBron. I've never seen 22-year-olds that good. Never. Now, fourth quarter, he's a little tentative. I don't think he trusts himself at the free throw line late in games. A little tentative late. It's okay. I mean, LeBron, first at 22 years old, LeBron was still figuring out defense in the... LeBron could block shots, but he wasn't the same player defensively. Really, really interesting stuff. By the way, Anthony Davis is talking, and what he's saying worries me a little. Plus, Matt LaFleur, the Packers coach, is talking. Oh, boy.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
TanklessMadeSimple.com. That's where you find a Navien tankless water heater. Spa-like comfort. Only heats the water when you're using it, so it never runs out. Navien. So the Lakers host the Phoenix Suns tonight, down 3-2. The Lakers season can be summed up like this. Tonight, the Suns win if Anthony Davis doesn't play. Or the Suns win if Anthony Davis plays but is really, really limited. Or the Lakers win, in my opinion, tonight if Anthony Davis plays 38 to 40 minutes and is just relentless and unbelievable. Good luck. He's got a groin strain. I think the Lakers season ends tonight. Anthony Davis talks about his injury and playing tonight and going forward.
Hopefully, you know, all the rehab and treatment that I'm doing, you know, pays off. And, you know, the doctors clear me to go tomorrow. You know, that's what we want. So, you know, like I said, getting more treatment tonight, tomorrow, and kind of talk to the doctors before a game, before and after I shoot, and hopefully everything comes back good where they cleared me. So that's what we were hoping for.
He was grimacing in warmups a couple of days ago. Listen, I didn't mention LeBron's name in the three outcomes tonight because this team, LeBron's averaging 22 points in the playoffs. Okay, this team has won two games, the Lakers, and both times Anthony Davis has been a monster. That's how they win tonight. The Lakers have become the Sixers. If the big fella's healthy, you like their chances. Listen, what we have in the NBA right now, and I'm not sure the reasons why, there are point guards everywhere. Some teams have two, Chris Paul, Booker. I mean, it is, Derrick Rose is 32 with 48-year-old knees. He's productive. Ja Morant, Dame, Steph, Donovan Mitchell, Luka, Trae Young, Chris Paul, Booker. There are guards everywhere on the planet. Next year, there's more good ones in the draft. There are guards everywhere and wings everywhere. There are about four great bigs on the planet. Giannis, Embiid, AD, Jokic. That's about it. And by the way, AD doesn't even like playing center. He'd rather play four. So you get into a situation, I thought Philadelphia should have moved off Embiid 2 years ago because we have a clear pattern. When bigs get hurt early, they get hurt a lot. It doesn't get better with big bodies. You would think in football, because they tackle each other, that there'd be a lot of injuries. But football players, by and large, are 6'4 or under. I'm 6'2. I think I'm taller than the average American, but I don't have a unique body type. You're talking about a league where players are 7 feet tall, and Porzingis is 7'4", whatever. It's a different league. KD, 7 feet. Jokic. These guys get hurt a lot. These are unique body types, and we ask a lot of basketball players. They play on a hard surface, they crash to it, and play 82 games, this year 72, condensed schedule, and then go 25 games in the playoff. And shocker that baseball pitchers, who we asked to throw 100 miles an hour, just you're not supposed to throw anything that hard, and basketball players get hurt more than football players do because of the body sizes and what we ask them to do. So I look at the Lakers and the Sixers, and I feel the exact same way. If the big fella's healthy, probably going to win. But you end up, it's a walk on thin ice. You can never be overconfident. You can never feel great. I'm not trying to blame anybody, but this is the reality of what the Sixers and the Lakers have become. You have this rare, unique body type on the planet. When they're good, they're unstoppable. I mean, unstoppable. But my guess is tonight, AD plays, tries to play, season on the line, is not terribly effective. I'll never predict he's going to get hurt, but I would say he'll be limited. There'll be some pain. The Suns win the game. The Suns win the series and move on. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
A lot of blowouts last night.
Yeah, it was. Thankfully for the betters in the world.
Well, yeah. Well, you and I were talking in hair and makeup about how our lives have now just become at 4 o'clock. We just sit on the couch for the rest of the night.
But how about the Eastern playoffs are now set? Boy, you've got some. Embiid's injury throws a real wrench into the Atlanta Sixers series now.
Yeah, it's gotten very interesting. Well, the Hawks eliminated the Knicks from the playoffs last night. Big performance by Trae Young. He's 36 points for his third straight 30-point playoff game at Madison Square Garden, joining Michael Jordan as the only two visiting players to ever do so. When he hit a three in the last minute to solidify the win, he bowed to the crowd.
I loved it.
After the game, he explained why he was taunting the Knicks fans.
I know where we are. I know it's a bunch of shows around this city, and I know what they do when the show is over. So that's pretty much what it was.
By the way, this is great for the league. He's a showman.
Oh, I love it.
This is great.
I love it. And I'm sure, listen, if you're a Knicks fan, you're sad today, understandably so, and you hate Trae Young. But that's how it goes. Trae Young is a finesse shooter. You're supposed to be a tough defensive team. Like, should have been able to slow him down a little bit. He had a great series against them.
And played great for a kid in New York.
Listen, the bubble last year or Madison Square Garden without fans is a completely different environment. Like, you know, that's the test right there. Madison Square Garden, Knicks fans haven't seen their team in the playoffs in years. Everybody's back after a pandemic, and he thrived.
By the way, Spike Lee left the game with 4 minutes left. There, all you need to know. Here's what's funny, what we do in America. We romanticize the past. So if Reggie Miller was doing this today, we would crush him. That's taunting. But yet we do 30 for 30s on Reggie Miller. What Trae Young is doing is great, because what Trae Young is saying is, I'm going to be theatrical on the court. Steph Curry does this. So to me, I never thought of Trae Young. I just thought he was a scorer. I didn't think of him as a star. But I honestly feel like now he's becoming something. He's a showman.
This was an arrival for Trae Young, especially in New York.
Yep.
Especially in New York. And listen, I love Spike. But I think finally now we can put the, fans, only bad fans leave early thing to rest.
Yeah, Spike Lee, 5 minutes, boom.
And then if he wants to, of course.
He probably walked home in four blocks and he still left early. Didn't even have to face traffic.
A lot of traffic. Well, Trae Young was incredible, and now they're moving on to the next round, and we'll see what the Knicks do in the offseason. But overall, Knicks fans got to look. You took a step forward.
It was nice.
It was a nice season. The Hawks are just better.
Yeah.
So the Sixers didn't have any problems with the Wizards without Joel Embiid in the lineup. Seth Curry had a playoff career high 30 points. Tobias Harris added 28. And Ben Simmons had a triple-double in the 129-112 win. They will start their next series against the Hawks on Sunday, but fans are already looking past that. Some fans were chanting, "We want Brooklyn," as time expired in last night's win. Listen, Brooklyn's got to get past the Bucks.
They actually match up great with Brooklyn if Embiid plays. Then they're there. You know, this is a series. I honestly believe they get a little bit of a break. They should beat Atlanta. They're a better team than Atlanta. They have more experience. They can probably beat Atlanta without playing Embiid all the games. So if you could take a lead in this series and maybe give, if you could finish it off in five games and Embiid doesn't have to play the first or last game and you give Joel like 6 days rest, because I think Milwaukee, Brooklyn, that's a long series.
Yeah.
So if you could get rid of, and Atlanta's fun, but I kind of feel like this is it, right? Like they just don't have as many good players. If Philly can get rid of Atlanta in five and Embiid gets a week off, Then if Brooklyn survives Milwaukee, then they've got a real shot. Because I got to tell you something. I don't know if he got mentioned for it. Doc Rivers, Coach of the Year. This team was a dysfunctional mess.
Yeah, I mean, I think Monty Williams.
Yeah,
and Doc
he
Rivers,
will win. You're yeah. right. You're right. He will win.
But, I mean, Doc Rivers has done an incredible job. I mean, we had no idea if this was even going to work with the two of them, and it clearly has. Obviously, Embiid is injured. But I think you're right. I think if they can start this series hot and just, you know, calm the Hawks down a little bit and give Embiid some rest. I think the Hawks can actually give them a couple games. But yeah, if they can get it even in six, just give Embiid a little bit of rest.
When Chris Paul got an extra day of rest, he came out and looked great. Like Luka, by the way.
This is a little bit of a different injury.
Yes, no, it is.
Like a meniscus, you don't have to have surgery, but you do need to rest and rehab it significantly if you're not going to have surgery. So it is something I think they have to keep a little bit more eye on than Chris Paul. But the Sixers are 2.5-point favorites in game one, according to Fox Bets, and -188 to win the series.
I'll take Philly in that. That's a good bet. I'll take Philly right now. Uncle Colin's on a heater.
Well, finally, the Jazz are moving on to the next round of the playoffs.
Oh, can we pay attention to them?
No. They eliminated the Grizzlies in Game 5 with a 126-110 win. Donovan Mitchell, 30 points, 26
God,
in the first half.
God, he's good.
He's great. After the game, he said it was important that they set the tone early so the Grizzlies couldn't build any momentum, which is exactly what they did. They now wait for the winner of Clippers-Mavs in their second round matchup. Great season for the Grizzlies. Can't wait to see what they do in the offseason. Love everything that they're building there. They're still young. Ja Morant at 27 points. Dylan Brooks at 27 points. I love everything the Grizzlies are doing. Jazz are a great team.
Why?
The Jazz are broccoli.
I know they're broccoli, but Charles Barkley and Shaq are brutal. I don't get it. What did they don't like about Donovan Mitchell?
I love Donovan Mitchell.
He's a great
player.
It's
not about Donovan Mitchell. It's just, you know what the Jazz are? The Jazz are the Spurs. They're just great. They have a great culture. They have a great system.
A great bench guy.
Great bench, defense, great big stars. But they're just, it's a small market.
It's methodical.
There's nothing, there's no crazy showmanship. Even though Donovan Mitchell has a little bit of that.
Yeah.
It doesn't overwhelm the brand of the Jazz. And that's why. And until the Jazz go out there and win this championship and make some real noise, they're just not going to get that kind of attention.
See, I'll take the Jazz over.
And I would pick them over the Clippers or the Mavs.
So would I. Absolutely. I think, you know, and again, as everybody falls apart physically, as long as Donovan Mitchell, because he didn't play at the end of the year, if Donovan Mitchell's healthy through the playoffs, rest of the roster, remember last year they had an injury to one of their wings and they went to the playoffs. One of their wing guy ripped up a wrist or something, and they weren't the same team. So Bogdanovich, last year, right before the playoffs. So I think he had surgery right before it, canceled him. And so they had a great regular season, but we forgot about him in the bubble. Because,
yeah, you can't lose him.
So good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
That's good stuff. The East is all ready to go. Rick Bucher, Fox Sports NBA analyst, is now joining us live. Brought to you on Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So I said, LeBron and Luka are the best 22-year-olds I've ever seen. Luka's the best offensive player I've ever seen at 22. LeBron's the best athlete. I don't count Magic because he inherited Kareem, and that is unfair. There's no way. That's like being a trust fund kid and you inherit a Mercedes. That's not fair. But I will say this about Luka. We're starting to get a little bit of a narrative that in the fourth quarter, He doesn't want the ball because he doesn't want to shoot free throws. He's not shooting them well, and he's just not the same player in the fourth. Is that fair? Do you see a little of that?
Do you want me to leapfrog to the whole free throw issue, or can we talk about this, the two best 22-year-olds ever?
Because we can talk about that.
Look, Derrick Rose at 22 was the league MVP and leading the Chicago Bulls to the best record in all the NBA and the Eastern Conference Finals. So I don't know how we leapfrog and give Luka Doncic, who hasn't been out of the first round yet, and make him one of the best 22-year-olds ever. What I do think that Luka is exposing is how much AAU has negatively affected the development of American players. Individual skills are through the roof. We've never seen them like this before individually. The range that kids have shooting, the ball handling skills, but they have no idea how to play the actual game and utilize the chess pieces around them to play. Luka does, and that's what makes him so extraordinary, is his ability to manipulate the game and manipulate a team. That's what makes him so amazing at 22 years old, but it's more a reflection of where our game is and how we're developing players. And I'm watching a lot of high school basketball and a lot of AAU basketball, particularly over the last couple of years. So it's painful for me to watch how we're developing, or rather not developing, players. I think that's the huge edge that Luka has in the game right now, because obviously did not come up in the game over here. As far as the free throws, I don't really believe that he is reluctant to go there. I think the teams are basically holding back, playing one-on-one through the game. This is a strategy that goes back to the Don Nelson days, where I'm going to let a scorer go off for 3.5 quarters, and then the last 6 minutes, I'm going to start doubling him and forcing the ball out of his hands and make somebody who hasn't had to shoot the ball all game long beat us. And I believe that has as much to do with what's happening with Luka and the Mavs at the end of games, is that that's the strategy that's being employed. I don't think it's because he's afraid to take those shots. I think it's a matter of he's saying, look, if I got a wide-open Tim Hardaway Jr. or even a Kristaps Porzingis, I'm going to do the right thing and I'm going to swing it and trust my teammates.
You know, it's really interesting. Listen, the Lakers aren't going to move off AD. He'll come back. It's been a condensed season. He's injury-prone to begin with. The condensed season's made it worse. They're frustrated. But let's talk Clippers, where I do think it's TNT, blow it up if it doesn't work. And I was saying this, you become your best player. Magic's teams were fun and flashy. Steph's teams are smart and clever. Tim's teams, Tim Duncan's team, Bird's teams were tough. Michael's relentless. It's a small locker room. You know, football, you got 50 guys. Baseball, you got 25 guys. NBA got 13 and 7 play. You become your star. And I look at Kawhi, and he's an enigma. And I look at the Clippers the last 2 years, and there's things that don't make sense to me. They're an enigma. They win all their road games so far in the playoffs. They're 0-3 at home. How can you be this talented and this terrible late in games? How can you be as good as you were last year and have no chemistry? And I almost think we've discovered, Rick, that if he is your piece, if he is your foundation of your house is a little haunted. And that's just the way it is with Kawhi. Your thoughts?
You're echoing what a lot of GMs have said to me over the last couple of years, that Kawhi Leonard, for all of his talent and for his two championships, is not a leader. So who is? What I found interesting in Game 5 and what they've sort of shifted to is that they're putting the ball in Paul George's hands. And this is, I normally don't disagree with Draymond Green on a lot of things when it comes to basketball, but I've seen this narrative out there that the Mavs were successful in getting the ball out of Paul George's hands and Reggie Jackson taking almost as many shots as Kawhi and Paul George, and that's how they won the game. Game 4 was the lowest percentage of shots taken by Kawhi and Paul George, and they won going away. This team is better, particularly against the Mavs, when they utilize all those different pieces. But the bottom line is, it's a crisis of leadership. By the way, Paul George had the ball in his hands the last couple of possessions, had the opportunity to win the game. And what, turnover, was 1-for-4 in the final 6 minutes. The decision making and the leadership is the huge missing piece with the Clippers, and that extends to Ty Lue. They get the ball back down one with 39 and a half seconds left, and they have a timeout, and no timeout is called. And you've seen what Paul George has done on the previous 2-3 possessions, and he gets the ball in his hands, and you're going to allow him to make the decision on whether you win this game or not. To me, that is the biggest issue. And it almost feels like the Clippers, they have one thing and they don't have the other. They had Chris Paul and they had leadership at one point, but they didn't have health and they didn't have the IQ and the depth. And so it's always mismatched pieces. Now they have the talent. I mean, I still think that the Clippers could potentially win this series. I may be crazy because I just look at what they're capable of. But I never know whether they're going to reach their capability, and that goes to the heart of leadership. Teams that have leadership always achieve what they're capable of. Sometimes they overachieve. Teams that don't have leadership, whether it's on the bench or on the floor, are teams that consistently we look at and go, God, they should be way better than they are, and they aren't. And why aren't they? Because of the decision makers and how you're utilizing that talent.
Yeah. So the East is all set. I think I'm going to take Milwaukee. I picked them to win the finals. One of the reasons I did was they've been dismissed. They got a lot better defensively, and I think they match up with Brooklyn. So I am fascinated. Yep. You and I talked about this 2 weeks ago. We knew Brooklyn would not be stressed or made uncomfortable in the Boston series. Once Jaylen Brown was out, the matchups are bad. Now it's going to get more physical. They're going to trail in games.
Yep.
They're going to have to, you know, this is Milwaukee can, on both ends, can make things really uncomfortable. My prediction is it's hard to solve your dilemmas or your issues in the playoffs. And their chemistry didn't matter against Boston. I think we're going to see issues because I think you're going to need great chemistry to win. So I'll take Milwaukee. Your thought about what I think is one of the best Eastern Conference series in 10 years. I think it's that good.
Yeah, I hope it is. I'll be fascinated to see what we see in the first game and how the matchups work, because how the Milwaukee Bucks played the Miami Heat, I believe Milwaukee is going to play a very different way against the Brooklyn Nets. I think you're going to see a lot more of Giannis Antetokounmpo playing center. And what I'm really fascinated to see is if Drew Holiday is on James Harden. Drew being very underrated defensive player, has the physical size and athleticism to deal with James. How much harder can he make the game on James one-on-one? Can he stay out of foul trouble? Who is Kyrie Irving going to guard? Now, I will give credit to Kevin Durant. Defensively, he's shown me exactly what I thought he needed to do in order for the Brooklyn Nets to have a chance. But Kyrie Irving is going to have to guard somebody. Joe Harris is going to have to guard somebody. And what it really comes down to is this is a battle between Mike Budenholzer and Steve Nash / Mike D'Antoni. And if Budenholzer can't win the chess match against a coach in the playoffs for the first time and a offensive coach in Mike D'Antoni, then the Bucks don't deserve to win a championship. But to me, this is going to have so much is going to depend on the mixing and matching of matchups. And I believe that the Bucks just have more versatility and experience in that area. So I'm with you. But the Bucks, we've seen it in the regular season. I believe that we've seen a different team. I believe we've seen a different Giannis Antetokounmpo in the regular season. And the question is going to be, can they deliver that in the postseason for the first time?
Rick Bucher, Fox Sports. Good seeing you, bud.
By the way, I hear you were pretty decent at 22 years old, too.
I could really get hops. I could dunk a wiffle ball. I could dunk a wiffle ball. Couldn't dunk a basketball, but I could dunk a wiffle ball at 22. It was very springy.
Volleyball? Not a volleyball?
Just a wiffle ball? Depended on the day. If I was hoppy, springy that day, yeah. Yeah, I could.
Got it.
All right, Rick. Good seeing you. Coming up next, listen, I'm rooting for all these young quarterbacks. You know that, right? Joy and I don't like cruddy football. But this Jordan Love thing now, I'm just telling you, some of this stuff is not good if you're a Packer fan. Maybe this is why Aaron's playing hardball. He'd been at practice with this guy. This stuff yesterday, this is not good.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Jersey Mike's has a new grilled portobello mushroom and Swiss sub. Give it a try. Fresh ingredients. Make it a sub above. Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers is showing, for the first time in his career, a real stomach for being disliked. He likes to be liked. He and KD, what they call rabbit ears, they can get a little defensive with criticism. We've seen it with both. Aaron now has gotten empowered. Well, he's dating a Hollywood celebrity. Well, he's been doing that for years. Well, he's making a lot of money now. He's been doing that for years. Well, he just got to the NFC Championship. Well, he's been doing that for years. What's changed? What's changed is the Packers drafted Jordan Love, his heir apparent, and Aaron has watched him and knows football and knows what he sees. Aaron's got no real replacement. So yesterday, Packers, no more 7-on-7. This was 11-on-11. Jordan Love was sacked twice, threw a pick, and on seven consecutive snaps, threw it to running backs, checked down six times. Matt LaFleur, once again, with word salad.
Today was the first time that we've had a competitive period that wasn't 7-on-7. So I think there was definitely some learning for everybody on the offensive side. It was a little bit of a rough day for the offense, but you know, typically this time of the year, I think that's pretty normal, you know, just in terms of the defense is typically ahead of your offense. And so, you know, we'll take a look at the tape and, but I think he's really attacking it the right way.
Whatever. Can I be concerned? Jordan Love had 31 college starts. 31. In a generation of 7-on-7 leagues, quarterback camps, personal quarterback coaches, passing camps, year two, struggling at practice. Seven consecutive snaps, check down six times to running backs. Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, had no OTAs, had no preseason. And I could certainly argue less talented coaches or offensive lines. And those were bad old lines. They threw for 300-plus yards multiple times. In fact, last year I went and looked up quotes from some quarterbacks. First time you saw him at camp. This is what they said about Joe Burrow. First scrimmage. He had his first scrimmage the other day. Nearly flawless in his execution. Sounds like the arm strength better than anticipated. Big things for Joe Burrow, who will be a day one starter and was really good behind a bad O-line. This is what they said about, you want to do Justin Herbert. First practices. Quote, you know, we talked about it when we drafted him as athletic ability, rare for his size, but to see it in person, the type of throws he's been making in practice, very impressive. Heck of a job staying in the pocket when the pressure's coming. Hasn't flinched. By the way, Herbert had the highest passer rating in the NFL last year of all quarterbacks under pressure. They saw it initially in practice. Doesn't flinch. Deshaun Watson, he's pretty good. Bill O'Brien, this is what Bill O'Brien said. First practices, first scrimmage. Once we got to OTAs, he was able to operate the line of scrimmage right away. Operate in the huddle right away. That stood out to me right away. You know what? He was right away. Good. Okay. Like, I just don't think, I mean, this kid's got 31 college starts. He's been around the operation, the playbook, for well over a year. And he is 11 on 11, struggling against the Packer defense he sees in practice. He, like, who knows who can play and who can't. I don't know. I don't want to be Mr. Negative. I am happy today. Yesterday, I took all the winners in the NBA. Buying lunch, feeling great. I'd be concerned. Maybe this is why Aaron is playing hardball. Maybe this is why. I mean, if Jordan Love was Mahomes, let's not kid ourselves. Aaron would be in camp. Aaron would be in camp. Aaron knows his replacement. He sees it, and he knows it. All right. Was that negative? I don't want to be negative. Today is a positive day in America. Hour two. Live in L.A. Stick around. It's The Herd.